romance without finance is a nuisance. Sweet surrender without legal tender is tough.
That's the record spinning right now on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman. This hour, we've been taking a look at how money affects our love lives. This is a topic Gail Wyatt's been watching up close. Gail's a couples counselor, and she's director of UCLA's sexual health program. Gail, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
You have counseled many couples over the years. I'm curious what you're hearing specifically about how the current financial situation is affecting relationships.
Well, I think that I think it's raining on people's parade, to say it in a contemporary way. Money is very tight, and I think people are being very cautious.
What kind of ways do financial concerns manifest themselves in relationship problems?
Well, I think that when people decide they want to be together or they're very attracted to each other, it's nice to be able to take a risk and see if the relationship can develop into something even more meaningful or something deeper. But today, because of finances being so tight, if you give up your apartment, for instance, your single apartment or your space if you're sharing with roommates, and you move in with someone and it doesn't work, then you're sort of out, you know. So moving, taking risks in relationships is something that a lot of people are just sort of putting on the back burner. It's as long as they can be together, have sex together, that may be enough right now while they try to ride the tides of these financial times.
When we talk about stress in general or even financially generated stress, what mm-hmm. specific ways might you see that manifesting itself in a person or in a couple that come to you in addition to actions they might take? What does it do to your psyche, I guess?
Well, you know, this is a really important issue because a lot of people don't like to talk about the problems that they have. And I must say that most of the couples that I see, if they are heterosexual, they complain that it's the men who don't like to talk about these issues.
Really?
Yes. And as a consequence, a lot of their partners don't really know what's happening to them. They may have lost jobs. Their pay may have been diminished. They may be able to accrue fewer hours, and we know that also, you know, results in less pay. All sorts of things are happening on the job, and if a person doesn't reveal that every day to their partners, the partner may not understand the quietness, the silence. The person may be depressed, not wanting to go out or do anything and just sort of be alone and watch television. Well, that could look like a couch potato.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it could also make a tense relationship even worse because
Absolutely.
They're not talking.
If you don't go out, if you don't have any recreation, and, you know, your partner is expecting to be taken somewhere, that can create even more pressure. And I think that communication is really the key in these times, and that couples need to talk together every single day about what their days were like and not just say, oh, it was fine, how was yours, but really talk about the pressures that they're under so that you can expect more sensitivity and get more sensitivity from your partner in terms of what is really happening to you and how it's affecting your self-esteem that then may in turn affect the relationship.
We're talking with Gail Wyatt of UCLA's sexual health program. How does it affect their sex lives? Financial stress. Not well, I'm assuming.
You can imagine if a person doesn't feel very good about themselves and is worried, they're not going to be able to perform sexually in the same way. Sex is something that many couples use as a way of comforting each other and being closer to each other. But if a person is experiencing a great deal of stress or depression or they're very angry, sex may not be the thing that they want to experience, nor do they want to share that experience with anyone else.
So, Gail, we've heard that you counsel people to talk one another, but you can't counsel somebody to find a job if there are no jobs to be found. So what other advice might you have for people who are struggling with some of the fallout that comes from not having enough money?
Well, I think that today we have to be very creative about where we're looking for jobs. And I think that partners can help in asking other people, you know, that are also looking for jobs. How did they find jobs? Where are they looking? And it may be in places that you don't expect. It may be doing something different for a while that you weren't particularly trained to do. It may not be something that you want to do. but it's a matter of survival in these times. And we also know that many of the jobs that individuals have may not be the jobs that survive the recession. So some of us have to consider going back to school, taking out loans, which can create more stress temporarily.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it may give individuals a better chance not only to come back to the level that they might expect financially, but then feel more comfortable in making a longer-term commitment in a relationship.
Gail Wyatt's a couples counselor, director of UCLA's sexual health program. Thanks for speaking with us.
You're very welcome.
This is The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.